Stay healthy, safe, and informed on the COVID-19 virus with Coffee at KYUK. Each weekday, KYUK will provide coronavirus updates from local organizations and community partners. Tune in Monday through Friday following the 8 a.m. newscast.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, 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 up and down the Cusco. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, Coffee at KYUK. As usual, I'm starting my day heart healthy with oatmeal on my sideboard. And as is usual, I have arranged a cohort for communication, distance socializing on the public radio airwaves. This morning with me on the telephone hosting will be Katie Basil, our own Katie Basil, I should say. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Grady.
And also on the telephone with her is Mitchell Forbes from YKHC and the infection control officer, Dr. Elizabeth Bates, also from YKHC. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning, Grady.
I'm going to step back and let Katie run the show, so see you in a few.
Thanks, Grady. Hi, Dr. Bates and Mitchell. Thanks for being here. Before we start, could you both remind the listeners what your roles are at YKHC and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Dr. Bates. I'm the infection control officer here at YKHC. So working with Dr. Hodges, we're coordinating the medical response to COVID-19, including testing, the testing apparatus, developing surge capacity at our hospital, expanding hospital beds, and community involvement and education in collaboration with Mitchell.
Yeah, and my name is Mitchell Forbes. I am for YKHC's COVID-19 response, I am our public information officer, so I am responsible for getting out messages to the public and as well as working with our staff to keep them posted on what's happening at YKHC. I've also been spending a good chunk of my time working with our partner agencies and coordinating our response with those outside entities.
Great. Thank you both. Today I'd really like to focus on testing. And I understand that YKHC is rolling out new testing capabilities for COVID-19. Can you talk about that and what that looks like?
Sure. Yeah, I'm really excited that that YKHC has done a lot of work in making this possible in an expedited way. So tomorrow, the 25th, we'll be rolling out our roadside drive-through testing, and that's by appointment only. And how that works is we take calls through our hotline, our nurse triage line, and do over the phone assessment, risk assessment based on people's age, exposures, travel history, et cetera. And if people meet criteria for testing, we'll be organizing testing from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow to basically expedite and increase access to testing, particularly for vulnerable populations. And this is done to increase safety for both the patients and then also for our healthcare workers. As we know, healthcare worker safety has been a big issue in this COVID-19 pandemic throughout the world. So this model of testing can be really useful to protect both our healthcare workers and the patient.
And why is a kind of a drive-through testing site better than testing right inside the hospital? How does that increase safety?
That's a great question. So what we know about COVID-19 is it's transmitted through droplets and aerosols, so these little tiny droplets that we produce when we cough or sneeze. And so when testing is done in the hospital or, say, the emergency room, it needs to be done in a specialized room that has negative pressure, meaning that it sucks the air out of the room and keeps it from going outside. The other thing is when testing is done in a room in a hospital, that requires what we call a terminal clean. It has to be scrubbed head from top to bottom with specialized cleaning equipment by a member of our household staff who is also in personal protective equipment. So it's a large lift sort of for hospital resources and can reduce the amount of people we can test in a certain time. So the reason this roadside drive-through testing is so useful is that because if we keep people in their cars or personal vehicles, and I think we're also considering doing this for people on snow machines as well, we can limit the amount of droplets that are produced in a small confined area. When it's done in open air, there's, you know, the open air is its natural kind of negative pressure environment because it's so large. So it's much safer, and this is something that has been done in Seattle. They're doing it in Anchorage and Providence. And our model has been developed based on what's being done in California and also in consultation with providers down in Seattle who have been doing this for the last month. So we had a lot of input in developing our tent-based roadside testing.
Great. And where will the tent be located?
Sure. So it's out. It's across the street from the old YKHC, the emergency department, and we've got a traffic pattern that we'll be using. So folks who drive by the old YK will see it on the – I don't know if that's inside the parking lot that is, but it will, they will see it in the parking lot. And again, to emphasize, this is appointment-based only. So we'll have security checking people in and confirming people's identity to make sure that we are testing the people who really need it the most.
Great. And what's kind of the process of actually getting tested? I've heard that there's a cotton swab that goes in a nostril. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the process itself, you know, we have to make sure we confirm identity, the appointment. We get a brief history of the patient of, you know, how long they've had symptoms, where they've been going, and do a quick set of vital signs, you know, make sure their oxygen levels are good and their heart rate. And then the testing itself, it is it's a swab that goes in the – that's inserted in the back of the nose because really we want to get the sort of the end, the back of the nose where a lot of droplets and the virus itself could – sort of be sourced from. So that's the most sensitive test that we have at this time, and it's in both nostrils.
Okay. And excuse me, has the number of tests being done here in Bethel ramped up recently? I think on Friday, Dr. Hodges said there were under 20 tests conducted in the YK Delta.
Yeah, we have increased, you know, our capacity, and I think this will increase it even more. I think the problem, which is something that's faced throughout the nation, but particularly in Alaska, is just we have a limitation of swabs. Not by the swabs, I mean the sample, the swabs that are inserted in the nose to take the sample. And so we have a limited number of those. So again, that's sort of why we're doing this appointment-based and not screening broadly for everyone. But I think our hope is, you know, with the FEMA was recently activated, and their initial proposal is to increase availability of swabs. And so we have been discussing with Murkowski's office and based in the state and the ANTHC to increase availability so we can ramp up our testing. But I think, again, I think this roadside testing, we're going to trial this and hopefully be running it 3 times a week to increase capacity and access.
Great. And so you've talked a lot about kind of the testing criteria and making sure that it's appointment only and people aren't just showing up to get tested. What is the testing criteria right now?
Sure. So right now, we are still basing it on a travel history, and that travel history is defined as outside the region. So people left the YK Delta in the last 14 days, and then also they must have a clinically compatible illness as defined by the state. And so what that means is cough, shortness of breath, and fever, which is defined as a temperature. We're defining it as 100, more than 100.0. And that's in an effort to also identify our elders who are at risk.
Great. And then as far as collecting the specimen in village clinics, what village clinics are currently equipped to collect those samples?
All SRCs are equipped to collect those samples, and we have gotten COVID-19 samples from SRCs in Emonic and St. Mary's, and then others have access to those, and then we're running out. We are trialing. We're sending viral media to Accucheck, Chafornik, Kasigluk, Kotlik and pilot stations in order to increase access to testing in the villages, which we know is so important.
Okay, and just for our listeners, SRC stands for Subregional Clinic, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And Katie, if I can chime in briefly,
sure,
just to add to what Dr. Bates has said. Obviously, in Bethel, our testing supplies are extremely limited. The same is the case for our subregional clinics as well as the village clinics. And so anyone that is calling to be tested, whether that's in Bethel, in Emonic, or in one of the other villages that Dr. Bates just listed, will need to match our testing criteria. And we really don't have much wiggle room right now to kind of stray from that criteria. And so regardless of if the patient is in Bethel or in a village, they have to meet that current testing criteria. It's changed a couple times, and so if you visit ykhc.org, we have a link to our current testing criteria, and that page has been updated as it's changed.
Thanks, Mitchell. We'll make sure to link that in our show notes. And of the tests that YKHC has done so far, how many have come back?
I think, you know, we'll defer that. I think we're doing our we'll continue to monitor, and then as soon as if anything, so far none have come back positive, obviously, and as soon as if something does come back positive, we will be sure to alert the community immediately, because I think that is something, and we have a plan in place with the state of the state of Alaska epidemiology, and then our own public health support here to address that issue if it becomes, as it presents itself.
Okay. And currently, are there efforts to be able to actually process the tests here in Bethel instead of sending them out to labs?
Yes, that is a great question. So that is what we want. You know, that is our goal, is because, you know, this turnaround for these labs, it's frustrating for providers, as I'm sure it's frustrating for patients, can take 5 to 7 days. So our lab has worked really hard to get access to in-house testing. And so we're working to increase capacity for that, I believe, by sort of in the next 2 weeks. They're just rolling this out nationally. And so we're sort of going to we have to validate tests to make sure that it's accurate and sensitive. You know, we don't want to do something that's not going to work, but we are definitely in talks with private companies to increase capacity for that here at YK.
That's great news.
Yeah.
And we do have a question. We've been soliciting questions from audience on Facebook. Dr. Bates, you kind of answered this, but Mitchell, can you talk a bit more about how YKHC will make it known when there is a positive COVID-19 case in the YK Delta?
Yeah, so we've been putting out a substantial amount of information through almost every media channel that folks consume media through. So we've been working closely with KYUK to publish information. We've provided regular updates on our website, and we've also pushed out a lot of information on Facebook and some other social media platforms. And so we'll be once we're notified, it'll likely be the notification will come from the state. The state will probably find out about any positive in the YK Delta first. Once we get that notification from the state, we'll be pushing out information about the positive result and things like that through all of our communication channels.
Great. Thank you, Mitchell. We just have a couple minutes left, and I have a question it's unrelated to testing, but I'm really curious about protective gear for nurses and doctors. I've seen a lot of people posting on social media about how they're sewing masks to donate to hospitals. And I'm curious if handmade masks are effective and if this is something YKHC wants to encourage.
So this is a great question. And, you know, the thing I love about living here is just how amazing and supportive the community is, both for healthcare workers and just in general. And so right now, you know, the CDC does not formally recommend homemade masks, you know, because we can't confirm that they protect against the virus, those small droplets that we were talking about. You know, one thing that they are rolling out in Seattle and elsewhere are masks made out of this special sort of surgical material. And as we move forward, if we do run low or we notice that we're running out of personal protective equipment, specifically these surgical type masks, then we may discuss more with the community about options, you know, opportunities to make masks out of the specialized surgical material or fabric. But right now, like homemade fabric, just because it's woven, so, you know, we can't confirm that it will 100% protect healthcare workers. So we're not soliciting for them at this time. But again, I'm just so grateful that the community is thinking about us and concerned enough to be asking this question.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Bates. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap that up. Thank you both for sharing all this important information, and we look forward to having you on again. I just want to remind people that we're going to do this every weekday on Coffee at KYUK. We're speaking to local organizations like YKHC to learn more about the novel coronavirus and how we can be prepared. If you have any questions about the novel coronavirus, send them to us and we'll ask them. You can reach us by email at news@kyuk.org or by messaging KYUK on Facebook. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you to both, to everyone on the phone, and thank you to all the listeners, leaving me just one thing left to say to those listening, and that's don't forget to be awesome to each other. Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.